KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we still have mostly cloudy skies. It's currently 65 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 78. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Give them a call at 641-745-5253. In state news, police in South Carolina say two people trafficked a 16-year-old Iowa girl for sex through five states. The Sun News cites an affidavit from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina police. It says a possible human trafficking investigation began last Thursday. According to Horry County inmate records, 23-year-old Mark Cortez Spicer of Cedar Rapids was arrested Saturday in connection with the trafficking. Police say Spicer, a co-defendant, and the underage victim came to Myrtle Beach on August 13th after stops in Iowa, Chicago, Nashville, and Atlanta. An affidavit said sex acts took place in all five places. In Myrtle Beach, Spicer's co-defendant posted sex ads online. The victim told police that Spicer benefited from the funds received from her prostitution. The name of Spicer's co-defendant hasn't been released. The Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department's Board of Directors on Monday approved the ordering of playground equipment for the west side of the Schilberg Recreation Area, or SRA for short, near the shelter house. Parks and Rec Director Seth Stasselm said part of the next step in the development of the SRA is the inclusion of the playground equipment. Miracle Recreation Equipment of Monette, Missouri is having a sale on playground equipment, according to Stasselm.
It's $16,899. And it fits, I believe, 65 to 75 kids for capacity, so it's a fairly good size, especially for the price. We're looking at our budget be around $25,000 for the playground, and so this is well within the means, along with doing some fall material.
On the playground equipment, it will include some swing sets and two to three spring-type rides with animal-type characters. A formed plastic rock climbing wall had been considered, but its cost and the risk of having it vandalized by spray painters made it less appealing to the board and Stasselm, for that matter. And Seth spoke also about an Eagle Scout boat ramp project.
We had a very eager Eagle Scout. He actually was an Eagle Scout out of Omaha, Joseph Barkley. He has a grandfather that lives here in Atlantic, and they picked out this project because they know the boat ramp's there. They wanted to do a kayak launch off over there, but I don't think they were given permission to actually put a launch into the river. And so what he did for the project was did a parking lot, did some signage, and then we took one of our older picking cables over there and they sanded it and stained it and did all that work.
The signs Joseph Barkley were handmade and include access points to the Nishtabotna River on those signs. Stasselm said work is still being planned for the Sunnyside Park entrance sign, which he says will be large once it's finished.
We are getting so close to getting started on it. We took a look at the concrete that was underneath there, and we have about 2 feet of concrete that's actually already in the ground. We are working with the Central Western, and they have contacted Henningsons to get the sign over there. And it is large. I cannot express how large the sign is.
Landscaping and other features will be added soon after that sign is erected. The Atlantic School District's Board of Education will meet in a special session this evening at 5:15 at the High School Media Center. On their agenda is approval of a girls' swimming contract with the Harlan Community School District. According to school officials, the former Atlantic swimmer, currently with the HSD, wants to swim competitively this year. Making it available to her requires that the two school districts have a sharing agreement, which has already been approved by the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. Currently, Atlantic shares girls' swimming with Audubon and Clarinda. In other business, the board will act on open enrollment applications and contract recommendations for Natalie Ritter as interim food service director, Melanie McDermott as Schuler Elementary head cook, and Ann Hinton as school bus driver. School districts across the state are having trouble finding enough teachers to fill their positions, especially in certain subject areas such as physics. Iowa Department of Education Director, Teacher Preparation Consultant Tom Bice said smaller districts have a harder time finding teachers. He said the pay could be one issue.
Not surprisingly, some of the larger places like Ankeny, Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, Ames, places like that generally pay more for beginning teachers. But there are some rural areas that will pay, relatively high.
The state has a minimum starting teacher salary of $33,500. The latest figures Bice has are 1 year old, but they show most schools are paying more to get new teachers.
There were still 14 districts that were paying $33,500. Most of them pay something above that. The highest one beginning teachers can make around $50,000. So there's a huge discrepancy there in salary.
He says another factor in districts finding teachers is the low unemployment rate in the state. Bice says teachers may be recruited away to other jobs.
When they come out of there with that degree, it's a very, very good degree to use in a lot of work other than just teaching. And so if somebody comes out of college that can make 33.5 teaching or can make 50 doing something else, they have to really, really be dedicated to do that teaching.
He has worked in teacher preparation, has seen prospective teachers lured away because of the skills that they bring to a tight job market.
You're learning how to think on your feet. You're learning how to manage difficulties. You know, you're learning how to think quickly and to reason and all of these kind of things and work with people. Makes you very marketable.
A change in state law took collective bargaining out of the equation for teacher salaries. Bice says there's not enough information yet to determine if that has changed things compared to the way teacher salaries used to work.
School has a set budget, and, you know, before collective bargaining went away, basically the district and the union would negotiate a salary structure. So if you had, you know, X number of years of experience and X number of credit hours, then you got paid X. And that was all negotiated ahead of time.
He says there could be benefit to some teachers in shortage areas who want to leverage some more money.
You may be able to bargain yourself. If you're a physics teacher and you're getting looked at by four different schools, you might have some leeway, you know, in trying to get some more salary. It depends on what kind of structure that school system
has. He says most schools still use some sort of pay structure, even without collective bargaining. Bice says the salaries paid by the districts are based on that structure. In other news, the Adair County Board of Supervisors are set to meet this morning instead of Wednesday as they normally would. On the agenda for the 9 o'clock session at the courthouse in Greenfield is discussion and or action on the final official statement pertaining to General Obligation Bonds Series 2018, an IPAC agreement for FY2019 and Fiscal Year 2018 financial report. And then at around 9:15, they'll continue discussion with regard to the Adair County wind farms. Cass County Deputy Auditor Sherry Carnes on Monday provided an update on candidates filing for office in the county. Kevin Stender and Travis Erickson have filed to fill two nonpartisan Edna Township trustee positions. Incumbents Christy Plagman and Chad Becker have filed for the nonpartisan Ag Extension Council, along with Jeb Peck. There are five open seats on that council. Republican incumbents Michael Hooper, Mary Ward, and Tracy Marshall have all filed for election as Cass County Attorney, Recorder, and Treasurer, respectively. Incumbent Julie Pollack has filed papers to run for the single open seat on the Hospital Board, Northeast District. Mark O'Brien, who won the June primary, will be on the ballot for the open District 2 Board of Supervisors seat. Republican John Hartkopf, who also won in the primary, will face a challenge from Dana Halder, who lost in the primary to Hartkopf but was nominated by petition. Both men will be vying for the Board of Supervisors seat in District 3. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.